Welcome to Generation Radio Podcast, where the focus is on Arkapuna and their families. We are here each Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on the Oldies Channel, 101.1. You can listen to these shows at any time, any place, and even on your smartphone at generations808.com. We will bring to you resourceful information from our Generations team of experts in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore ways to make your life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors. Here's your host and publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio. I am Percy Ihara, your host, every Sunday morning here at 8 to 9 a.m. here on 101.1 FM, by the way, because FM is much, much better than the AM side. And I really like that because I only listen to FM, so when I'm in my car, if I'm going to the golf course Sunday morning or on my TV, go to Hawaii on Spectrum, go to number 883 on your Spectrum dial. If not, if you don't have a radio like me, go to hawaiistreams.fm and you can listen to it live on your laptop or actually your phone. So welcome to the show. Thanks for letting us into your home, your office, your car, and your family. And we're here every Sunday, like I said, every morning. We're basically, as a magazine, the print magazine, we are very well read. One of the most read magazines in Hawaii because our demographic, the 50-plus, likes to hold it. But we know online, people do go online. I do go online. I'm sure our guests go online. So we have been opening this more and more, and we will do more and more as time goes by with our radio shows and our webinars. By the way, our webinars are the third Wednesday of every month. You can find those out in the magazine and or go to generations808.com, our website. Look for webinars. And as, by the way, as you guys probably know by now, all our radio shows are archived and podcasts. On our website, generations808.com, and you can find all these, including this show, if you didn't not listen to us live Sunday morning. So thanks for tuning in, everybody, and thanks for following Generations. It's funny, I was at getting my annual physical the other day, and I did a blood work earlier in the day, and the lady was taking my name and number and my insurance card, and she goes, "Oh, thank you for your service." I said, no, thank you for your service. You're out on the front line. Goes, "No, I love your magazine." I said, "What? You're Mr. Ihara, right?" Goes, "Yeah. Oh, I had my mask on and everything." Like, wow, she's got good eyes. I said, wow. She goes, "Oh, yeah, I love your magazine. All my friends read the magazine, so thank you very much." I didn't get her name, but if you listen to the show, thank you very much for acknowledging the magazine. But anyway, as you guys probably have seen, if you're a great follower, like most of you are, the last few issues we covered the disease, Alzheimer's and dementia. They were very well read. We had a lot of good comments. It's amazing how many people around town I see. They love the article with Kalani Pea and his mother, and also Mrs. Ige talking about her mother with the disease. So thank you. And pass it on. As you guys know, all the past issues are on our website, generations808.com. But so I wanted to follow up with that because it's amazing. Every week I talk to people that are dealing with the parents. And I know a lot of you listening to us are dealing with the parents. That's why you listen to us. And so I reached out to the Alzheimer's Association here in Hawaii, the Aloha chapter, and we're going to have two great guests here. Ian Ross is going to be on now. He's a public policy advocacy manager for Alzheimer's Hawaii. So welcome to the show, Ian, and thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. You know, I've actually also heard the First Lady's heartbreaking story about her connection with Alzheimer's disease. We're really honored at the Alzheimer's Association that she's agreed to be our 2021 walk chair, honorary walk chair. I think she brings a lot of grace and really personal, powerful stories to bear. And, you know, we're really lucky to have her working with us this year.
Yeah. When we did the cover photo shoot at the governor's house, I did spend some time with her, and she did, you know, also reiterate that it's kind of hard to deal with sometimes. As we talked about in the story, when your loved one, your parent, can't recognize you, doesn't understand where she's at maybe, and they're having, I wouldn't say difficult time because, you know, she's obviously still mobile, still can eat, but he doesn't, you know, the memory is slowly going. So it's actually difficult for children. In my siblings, like my mother has early signs to deal with that. And so I just encourage people to go online, find workshops, caregiver support group meetings. And I know you guys have them as well, Ian. But and get involved and learn about the disease, because, you know, my clients was saying, oh, yeah, my husband doesn't know what he's doing anymore. I say, well, yeah, that's what the disease is. Disease is taking over their mind. And that's what happens. It's not dad doing this. It's the disease doing this, you know, and repeating himself and asking things about that are not relevant to our current conversation, things like that. So, Ian, thank you very much. Now, as a public policy and advocate, what exactly do you do here in Hawaii?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who are affected by Alzheimer's. There's the 29,000 individuals who are over 65 that have Alzheimer's disease or related dementia. Then there's the 65,000 caregivers across the state. And beyond that, so many more people have had their lives touched by this disease. And my job is to try to elevate the voice of the advocate. Some of my advocates are really tremendous with their work background, their knowledge, their connection with the disease, their ability to tell a story. And so what I tell them is, you know, my job is just to help you make sure that your words are effective and you know what room to be in and who to talk to, because they've got it. They know how to be advocates for themselves. And so in that way, the rooms I tell them to be in are meetings with representatives and senators, both federally and on the state level, rooms where there's hearings, where they need to share their story, rooms like what we're going to be in virtually, in this case, for Advocacy Day on March 4th. And so I try to help them to make sure they have their message honed to be something that people are ready to receive, that we have bills in the background that we're working on that can advance to actually make their lives better, and that they're just in the right place at the right time to talk about how this disease has affected them.
And that's, it is so critical that we get involved. And I know these virtual, the workshop is on March 4th. What day is that?
That would be a Thursday. So we're doing from 9 a.m. to 12. Any of your listeners who would like to get involved, it's via Zoom. You don't have to physically be anywhere. You can text March 4. So March spelled out, the number 4, no spaces, to the phone number 52886. Again, that's 52886. And you get a link right there on your phone where someone can RSVP.
And is it on a website or online anywhere, on your Facebook page or anywhere?
Yes, it is on our Facebook page for an event. So the Facebook URL, I'll get that back to you in just 1 second. I know we just changed our URL for our Facebook page.
Okay. Well, yeah, that is something that I think for a lot of people, I just tell, just simply Google, can you just Google Alzheimer's Association Hawaii or something like that?
Absolutely, that works. And yeah. The Facebook page would be Facebook/ALZ Hawaii.
Yeah.
ALZ Hawaii.
Yeah, I know a lot of you the kids, the siblings, the kids are dealing with this. So is this something that I think is just really important that they do their own research, understand now. And we'll talk about the Alzheimer's support group meetings. But, yeah, for advocacy, the numbers are scary. Now, I heard that even though you have 65,000 caregivers and 29,000 documented people with Alzheimer's, it's actually much, much more, because there's many more that's not even documented. Isn't that correct?
So the 29,000 is an estimation between the documented and undocumented for over 65. You know, one heartbreaking statistic I read not too long ago is that when someone is diagnosed, almost half the time the physician will not tell the patient of their diagnosis. And for me, this is very reminiscent of, you know, the early days for medicine and cancer, where people were too afraid to say the word. The 29,000 tries to capture the estimates between these two groups, but it doesn't count certain individuals. So I mentioned it's for 65 and older. Younger onset is a real thing. About 200,000 Americans under the age of 60 have Alzheimer's disease, a younger onset. And, you know, several of my advocates had parents who were diagnosed before age 60. I can think of three off the top of my head right now. So it isn't as rare as, you know, we would all hope it would be. And when those numbers aren't captured among the 29,000.
Yeah, all these numbers are going to grow. When I got in this aging field with my reverse mortgage business in 2002, when I did my research on all the different aging aspects, Alzheimer's popped up, and I kind of heard of the word before, and I was only 42 at the time. And I did my research, and life expectancy from what I saw online was like 7.9 years. Today it's nearly 10 years. The numbers are going to growing. I believe out of the top 10 diseases that kill you, it was, I think at the time, number 9 or 10. In the next 10 years or 15 years, it's going to go down to number 3 or 4. So it's a scary thought. It's just a very scary thought.
Yeah, to kind of build on that, what you're just saying, yes. It's the sixth leading cause of death in Hawaii right now, and it moves a little bit depending on the state. And we're expecting to see 20.7% increase in number of cases by 2025. So you're completely right. The trajectory is in a scary direction.
Yeah, and I heard, and maybe you may know, that when people pass on, they do not list Alzheimer's dementia as a cause of death. And that's something that's like... yeah, I get it. The doctor, a lot of times, they're not going to tell their family that they have some memory issues. I can see why they wouldn't do that. But that's the one thing it's a touchy subject, but it's something that they do need to do that. And it's just, we need more funding and we need more eyes and eyeballs. I know Barack Obama, when he was president, when he got in office, he put a lot of money into it. But then when Trump came in, he took away a lot of that money. So unfortunately, I don't know what you guys see, but we need more funding. Isn't that true?
Yeah, absolutely. Research through the NIH is really important here. The Alzheimer's Association, when it first really started honing in on improving our advocacy efforts, we were just north of $400 million a year in 2011 in terms of funding through NIH. And as I just shared, we have now passed the $3 billion a year threshold. So we've been increasing by 200 to almost $500 million year over year to get to where we are today. And there's still so much more work to be done. Alzheimer's disease, among the leading causes of death, is the only one that cannot be prevented, treated, cured. There's certainly ways to, I don't want to sound fatalistic on this, there's certainly ways to decrease your chances of having Alzheimer's. And if we employed those, just what we know now, to decrease chances, it would do a lot. But it is difficult that we have all that. So more and more research, maybe this is a great question to ask LJ in a little bit. More and more research is being done on trying to find drugs that can change the trajectory of the disease. And that just means, can we slow the decline? Because right. Once you start understanding how to affect that trajectory, there's a lot more that can be learned over time. There are some medical bright spots here. It still ranks as among the top leading causes of death that really give physicians and individuals less options than they deserve.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when you said the 400 million mark, when I did my research, they only had about 250 million. This was like the mid 2000s. And so I'm glad to hear that, because at that time, I think we had Alzheimer's got 250 million and cancer and heart got like 3-4 billion. So we're up to three billion mark right now. That's great.
Yeah. So I think it's 3.1 billion now as of this year, and we're asking for another $250 million increase this year. We're in a budget crisis across the board in government, but I think legislators can appreciate now more than ever that you cannot skip on the bill for a public health crisis. And Alzheimer's disease, long before COVID was ever heard of, has been a public health crisis across Hawaii. It is, before COVID, was the single most expensive disease in America.
Yeah, and it's a long-term disease, and I tell people it's really a family disease, because the families all have to get around, understand it, and that's one of the first things when I find out a client or a friend of mine called me that their mother or dad has dementia, that you need to go to the Alzheimer's Association. Either go log on or call them up, find out when they have caregiver support group meetings. I know we'll discuss a little bit later on, but to understand and learn about the disease, and because it's going to take over your loved one, and over time, it's terminal. And there's nothing, there's a few things you can maybe do, like healthy eating, exercise. It can slow it down maybe, possibly, but it is something still not something you want to wish onto anybody. I have several relatives that have had dementia, Alzheimer's, one going on 20 years. Another one, my neighbors were had it 8 years and 10 years. They both eventually passed on, but that's a long time to be a caregiver. And that's something that
truly is. I think being a caregiver for someone with Alzheimer's is one of the more unique caregiver roles. All caregivers put their heart and soul into it, and it is very tough, and they deserve nothing but, you know, profound recognition by the community. One thing that really highlights the difference often for caregivers for someone with Alzheimer's is the length of the caregiving and the fact that often the person that you're caregiving is on a decline. And that means that each day can potentially get more difficult than the previous. There's like more involvement over time. And those aren't purely unique to dementia and Alzheimer's, but because of the prevalence, it does make them among the caregivers that really can struggle very hard over time. It's actually one of the big issues that we've been focusing in on trying to deal with at the state legislature this year.
Yeah, hopefully. I mean, I think they just passed legislation last year to fund a position at the Executive Office on Aging, I believe, where it's Department of Health, for some kind of Alzheimer's coordinator, maybe LJ or Duenas, the executive director, who will come on the second half of the show, by the way, can talk for more about that. But it's just something I think.
Well, I can give you an update now.
Okay, yeah, please.
So in 2013, we started getting movement on, or at least major movement. I know a lot of people were working hard before then, and I want to recognize them, on a Hawaii 2025 Alzheimer's and Related Dementia State Plan. And the other thing that came up from this was the need and the passage of a law in 2014 that established the position in statute. But the legislature and the governor never funded the Alzheimer's coordinator position in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018.
Yep.
But then in 2019, we were able to pass a law that that would give the funding. We ran into one big roadblock, though, and this was extraordinarily heartbreaking. Essentially, a very small typo in the statute meant that the attorneys for the Department of Health, you know, in doing their job, recognizing that they thought the funding could not be released. Right. So we had a really quick, easy fix in 2020.
Yep.
That bill seemed to be on the way to passage, but then something called COVID-19 hit Hawaii.
Yeah.
And we had a shutdown, and in the scramble, it was a bill that wasn't able to make it. I am happy to share, though, we're not having to pass a bill this year on this. It's currently included in the governor's base budget. So all we need to do is, you know, defend it and keep that in the budget. We both know Rick Tabor. Hopefully he and I will be, it looks like, I'm still finalizing the schedule with him, but we're trying to get a meeting with Representative Sylvia Luke, the chair of finance, next week. We should be all locked in today to have that specific discussion that we need to make sure funding for the Alzheimer's coordinators there. One quick thought on why that matters. Alzheimer's disease, as we talked about, was one of the most expensive diseases in Hawaii, and in the country. It's a unique disease in a lot of the ways that touches people's lives. And you know, if you don't manage a problem, it grows. And so far, we have not had any dedicated staff in the entire state, in the government at least, that focuses on a day-to-day basis on what can we do to solve this crisis? What can we do to help people who are affected? And this position would change that. We would fundamentally have someone in place to make sure that we're helping those working caregivers, making sure we're helping people who are at risk of Alzheimer's, and coordinating state policy to make sure Hawaii is dementia capable. And that's why it's important.
But are they going to fund it this year, 2021, you think?
You know, the thing about talking about a bill and whether or not it's going to pass is that you always feel like you're going to jinx it if you say anything positive. So, Percy, I'll just say that we're having meetings and discussing the fact that you know, the Executive Office on Aging is in support. From everything I've heard so far, the Department of Health is in support. The governor is including his base budget. The chair of the Ways and Means Committee in the Senate was the previous introducer of the bill to fund the position.
Right.
I think we have the other person who used to introduce it was now Vice Speaker Mizuno. So I think it's plausible that we pass it. I'll let you know and your listeners know. I'm working every day to make sure it gets through. But I can't make any promises just because I'm not usually superstitious, but this might be the one thing.
Well, I've been involved with Kupuna Caucus for over 10 years. As you know, my older brother, Senator Leslie Howard Jr., was one of the co-conveners. And so I've followed
along. Okay, I'm going to tell you, I had no idea that you two were related until you just said that. Yeah. Yes, he used to be an introducer of our bills for us back when he was the co-convener. Excellent on Kupuna issues.
Yeah. When we have family dinners, we would sit and talk. And in the beginning part, it didn't really register with him as much, but slowly over the years, he would slowly end up kind of sitting next to me after dinner and we're talking the story. And I've always brought up the governor that we need leadership to take this to heart. Alzheimer's Association, you guys do a great job. Executive Boston Navy, Elderly Affairs, Department of Health, everybody does a great job, but it can't move unless the leadership moves it. And that's really critical. So I would tell you, if you don't have a copy of our Generations magazine with Mrs. Ige on a cover, take some with you. Take a bunch with you. It's a really heartbreaking story. And I'm glad to hear that she originally the 2020 walk chair as well? And then she's going to
That's right, yeah.
2020. It's going to be 2021 as well, you think? If she is.
Yes, and she was keynote speaker in 2019.
Yeah, okay, good.
Well, for our Wahoo walk.
Well, we'll support you as well, and I'll tell LJ that as well. But it's just something I think people need to realize. Even though we drill down to individual caregivers and families, the bigger picture here is what I always look at. We all have to support this. We all need to either go walk at the Capitol or call in and learn. It is very heartbreaking seeing both my neighbors go through this disease, now with family members of mine, and even people I meet on the street and people I golf with or play softball with. Two of the guys, my buddies, the mothers both have dementia, and they live with the mother. So it's something that's going to touch almost everybody at some point down the road, whether you're a caregiver or yourself or your neighbor or your parents. We need to support. So I appreciate all you've been doing. And then what else can you tell us in terms of advocacy, Ian?
Absolutely. Well, we focus on three big policies this year to really tackle into the very issues that you've been talking about on this program. We want to make sure that we maintain the coordinator in the budget. The other thing that's really near and dear to us right now that we're working on is making sure that first responders are trained on how to recognize, de-escalate, and work with people with dementia. You know, the rate of this disease, how much it's increasing in the state, the fact that a lot of caregivers working, they can't be with their loved ones full time. There's a lot of people aging in place. And what all this kind of comes down to is there's more opportunities for someone with dementia to be alone during an emergency. You know, whether it's a house fire, apartment fire, potentially this happens a lot in the mainland, driving on the wrong side of the road, accidentally, unintentionally shoplifting and police are called. There's a lot of circumstances. And it's crucial that the first responders know how to recognize and work with someone who has dementia, because it's very unlike other situations. Sometimes I've heard it compared to someone on drugs because someone's not in the right state of mind. The types of reactions and the responses and how they're interpreting the situation is pretty drastically separate from that. The only thing in common is the lack of normalcy in the situation. The actual circumstance of how it's working and how you de-escalate is very different. So we really want to let the Executive Office on Aging set standards for frequency and what type of training. And we know everyone's in a budget crunch, so I'm really happy to share that there's online resources that offer training and certification, some in just 1 hour, for free. They cover a broad range of the subjects that people need to know. And so I think this is just a small step that will make sure that our kupuna, when they're the most vulnerable, you know, in an emergency situation, are taken care of. And then the last one I wanted to highlight.
But
for
where do
you,
we get that? Where do we get those websites or classes? Is it on your website, or how do we find those?
So the Alzheimer's Association does offer a first responder training online. A quick Google search, you'll see a bunch of other organizations. I'll leave it up to the police officers, firefighters, EMTs to determine which one is the best for them. We have a few criteria in the bill that would specify that has to include recognition, de-escalation, be able to tell signs of abuse, things like that. But, you know, beyond that sort of one, if it covers that, I trust that they will be able to find an appropriate training for them.
Okay, well, yeah.
I think that's the kind of balance we're trying to strike with EMT and other first responders.
Yeah, that is something. I mean, I remember my first experience was several years ago when the son brought in his parents and we met at a Starbucks and for the reverse mortgage. People know my day job is a reverse mortgage. And I sat down at a Starbucks and, you know, I was talking about how are you doing? You know, I'm Percy, blah blah blah, and then the son goes, by the way, both my parents have dementia. You can't tell right now when we're talking to them. But he just said, "I just want to let you know that because I'm going to be taking care control of the application and process." I said, "Okay," and I could not tell. It was normal, great. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. How are you? Blah blah blah. And like, but then you ask some more deeper questions. Then you could see. But their demeanor was very, very calm, very happy, nothing negative. But there have been situations. I've seen situations where they get angered or something can turn them around. So the training is very, very important. I have a couple of good buddies of mine that are fire captains, and they say, yeah, that's something that they have to walk in with the white gloves and caution because they don't know how to approach that. There's actually a lot of great classes online you can take or videos online on how to approach people. And I didn't realize last year when we did our show that your vision actually closes down like a cataract. So open your hands wide, you know, and slowly move it toward your toward the middle of your body, and that's what happens to the vision over time, as well as the hearing. The hearing goes as well. So I was shocked to know all this information about the progression of Alzheimer's and dementia. It's amazing.
There's a feedback loop there. You know, really tragically, you know, if your senses are being dulled, your hearing isn't as strong, or you actually become deaf. You're getting a lot less sensory data into your brain, which means a lot less neurostimulation. And so I might be using fancy words right now, but I only know enough to just say this. So there has to be two deep questions on this. But what happens is if folks aren't being able to get as much information coming in through their senses, their brain is not as active. And that can further the decline of dementia. So I've actually seen some statistics related to and some studies that hearing aids can really be helpful with someone with dementia, giving them a little more quality of life in terms of slowing the decline to some degree.
That's a great, yeah,
that's obviously
a great
not
tip.
That's
a great tip.
That is interesting.
So we're going to take a short break. Ian, thanks for calling in. Any last tips for our listeners out there?
Well, I'll just do one last plug for folks then. You know, our advocacy day is all online. We offer training. We would love if you were to join us. If you have a connection or you're just passionate, text March 4, the number 4, no spaces, to 52886 to get involved. And even if it's not your thing to get involved with our advocacy day directly, we're always very appreciative if you would join us in advocacy to submit testimony online and written when we call it. And it's thanks to listeners of your show and people who are passionate about this in Hawaii that we continue to bring this up to the legislature and make progress. So thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thank you, Ian. Have a great rest of the week and weekend. And I'm sure you'll see you around town when everything comes back to normal. But yeah, any kind of information, just email it to me and we'll get it in the magazine. So I appreciate your time. Thanks, Ian.
Absolutely.
Okay. We're going to take a short break here, guys, so stick around for the second half of the show featuring LJ Duenas, the executive director from the Alzheimer's Association.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
As a certified senior advisor and certified in long-term care planning, I have advised many homeowners on using their home equity to age in place for the rest of their lives. Hi, I'm Percy Ihara. As Hawaii's reverse mortgage expert, I can show you how to unlock the equity in your home with a reverse mortgage. Give me a call at 808-234-3117. With today's low interest rates, there isn't a better time to learn all the benefits of a reverse mortgage. Let's put the gold back into your golden years. Give me a call at 808-234-3117. I'm Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage expert.
Mutual of Omaha Mortgage, Inc., NMLS ID 1025894. Equal housing lender. This ad is not from or approved by HUD, FHA, or any government agency. Percy Ihara, NMLS ID 582944.
4 and 5 night packages from $699. Vacations Hawaii, our favorite connection to Vegas.
Okay, welcome back to Generations. I am Percy Ihara, your host here, and we're here every Sunday morning, as you guys know, 8 to 9 a.m. So if you're on your way to the golf course, hope you keep it in the short grass there. Because I've heard many of my friends going, yeah, I heard you on the radio Sunday morning. But so thank you very much for listening in. And if you forget it or you miss it or you like it, you want to come back, all you can always go to generations808.com, click on the radio show, and you'll scroll down to all the different topics we've done. We also have webinars that my co-host Rick Tabor will be doing. And it's, if you click on the webinar link, it'll come down to all the events, and you can join the Zoom. It's the third Wednesday of every month. From 11:30 to 1 o'clock. So we're putting that out there quite a bit on our social media platform as well as our website, generations808.com. So as you guys know, I need to disclose, as you guys know, besides being a certified senior advisor and I'm certified to plan long-term care, my daily day job is the reverse mortgage. So my NMLS number, my license number is 582-944, just for disclosure purposes. But anyway, we're here. I'm happy to have you on, LJ Duenas, the executive director for the Alzheimer's Association here in Hawaii. So he's on a call. Thank you for calling in, LJ.
Thank you for having us join you, Percy. And we hope we were able to join you in person. Unfortunately, because of the COVID reality, we are joining you by phone. So really appreciate your flexibility in having us.
You sound good. Sometimes guys calling in, depending on what kind of phone they have, it doesn't sound so good, but you sound fine. So thanks for tuning in. So let people know what you do and what we're doing with Alzheimer's disease in Hawaii, LJ.
Sure, Percy. So as you may know, and many of those who are listening in, Alzheimer's and other dementias impact our community. There's nearly 100,000 people affected, 29,000 live with the disease, and 65,000 provide care for them. In order for us to be able to support the demand of caregiving, we offer programs and services statewide. These programs, of course, are free, and because of the stay-at-home, work-from-home orders, we have transitioned all programs and services to be delivered by phone, like we are speaking with you today, and virtually through Zoom or other platforms. So none of our programs took a pause, nor were they canceled. We continue them through this virtual platforms that have been available. And, you know, it's interesting because with this virtual way of delivery, we are able to reach more people than we ever have before. And folks perhaps that we didn't have the ability to reach because of limitations to transportation, or they may not have the time because they're caregiving for their youngsters and also their kupuna who are aging. And so this gives them the flexibility to join us when they're able to, with the many offerings that we have statewide.
Yeah, that is so critical. I always tell the story when I started using Zoom about 4 or 5 years ago when I first saw this. And Zoom is great. It's an app that people can use. It's relatively inexpensive. Some of them are free. But our company had been using that. And they went from $30 million a month, March 2020. By April 1st, they had 300 million people using Zoom in the world. So I'm glad it's that's the biggest benefit, don't you think, LGA, that people can go online or your website or a Facebook page or on a Zoom call, attend it, and you're almost like you're right there, yeah?
Yes. And, you know, we did, however, initially experience some challenges, like many folks have been.
Oh, yeah. But, still do.
With training and practice, we're getting closer to perfecting it, but we also know that those who are either calling in or Zooming in, you know, they may need some time. So we've also looked at some training opportunities that we, as a program staff, were able to do individually for those who are participating. And just to, you know, share some numbers with you, Percy, from March, when we did transition to virtual, we were able to support over 3,000 families throughout the end of last year.
Wonderful.
We offered over 100 training programs and close to 160 support groups statewide. So we're very happy with the work that we were able to continue to do, much of which is because of the support we've received from our sponsors, donors, and folks like you and your company, Generations Magazine, who helped us reach more people through the power of media, whether it's social media or your print magazine, which, of course, is an audience we are always trying to reach.
Yeah, it's so important that education is critical. And like you said, the amount of people being affected in Hawaii is to me, it's only going to grow anyway. And we need to get the support. We need to get people out there. You know, every time we do a workshop on that, it is the most attended workshop. You know, unfortunately, we couldn't do our aging in place in 2020. But in 2019, out of the six rooms that we have in aging in place, two of them were almost dedicated to caregiving and Alzheimer's. And those had lines out the door. So I'm kind of scared about doing it this year. This year, we expected to do it again, hopefully with the vaccine and everything. We're going to be able to have large groups and meetings function. We're not sure yet right now as of today, February. But hopefully by the end of the year, we'll be able to put on our 14th annual Aging in Place workshop. And it's something that I think, you know, thanks to you guys, you know, I always tell people, you got to get around the disease. Call up the Alzheimer's Association. Go to their website. Go to their Facebook page. Do your research, because this is not something you can learn overnight, yeah? And to accept it, to embrace it, to acknowledge it, because so many people are in denial that, you know, I had a family friend, he said, oh, yeah, it's old age. It's not old age. And that's probably one of the difficult things, isn't it, LJ, for families to accept and move on with their loved one that has a disease. Isn't that true?
It's true. And, you know, that speaks to how much more work we as an association need to do to raise awareness and concern about this disease. As you know, an early diagnosis is crucial because there's certain benefits or protections that come into play to, you know, support the person living with the disease and then their family plan financially, right, and legally as the disease progresses.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's so important that we do the best that we can to get out there and at least have that initial conversation with individuals, employer groups, organizations, folks like you who, you know, are really true champions of Kupuna Health. And, you know, we really appreciate it. It's funny how you're having us on the air today, because today is National Caregivers Day.
Oh, really?
And, I didn't know that. It's National Caregivers Day. So I just have to put a plug in to mahalo all the caregivers.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Care and support to all of our kupuna, not only just those who have dementia, but everyone.
Well, thanks for announcing that. I knew in the back of my mind somewhere. I got so much stuff going on with the magazine and everything else. But, yeah, thank you. Yes, to all the caregivers, I'll tell you, it's amazing how much they provide support in our community, especially in Hawaii. You know, we're a family state, I tell people. When I travel to mainland, Hawaii is a family state. We all live around our families. The family is most important, like anybody else. But we're so closer to people. You know, in the mainland, you may be 100, 300 miles from your loved one. Here, you're like, oh, I live in Pearl City. Okay, I live in town. No big deal, you know. But, you know, so being around loved ones that have diseases is very, very crucial. And So thanks to all the caregivers. LJ, real quick, can you just mention some of the programs that you have for the public now? You have support group meetings, caregiver support group meetings, trainings. Can you just mention a few and where you can get, where people can find that information?
Sure. So all of our information about our programs and services can be found online at ald.org/Hawaii. They can also call us 24/7 at 800-272-3900. We're also on Facebook. Our Facebook handle is ALZ Hawaii. So we post our events and support group information there. You can always chat with us online as well. Just to plug in, we do have a program scheduled for Friday, February 26th from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. This program is called our Healthy Living for Your Brain and Body program. It includes a speaker from Hawaii. Her name is Naomi Suto. She is our top fundraiser for the Walk to End Alzheimer's on Oahu, actually the top fundraiser in Hawaii. But her father lived with Alzheimer's disease and passed because of the disease. Interestingly, they donated his body and his brain to medical research. So even after his death, he is living through the work of the scientists who are trying to find a cure and better treatment. In addition to her talk, we do have our Chief Program Officer, Claire Day, who's going to talk a little bit more about research, particularly in areas of healthy eating, exercise, cognitive activity, and social engagement. So it's going to be a great program. People can register online. They can visit us at alz.org for more information or register through the 800 number, which is 800-272-3900.
Yeah, these workshops is the first line of defense, first step that you take to learn the disease. And if you think your loved one has an issue with memory, talk to your doctor. If the doctor doesn't know anything, talk to a neurologist. If not, look for a geriatrician. They're very busy, but they're geriatrician. My mom just finally got a geriatrician over at Tripler, Dr. Tom there. But it's really important from your PCP, primary care physician, to a geriatrician, especially if your parents have neurology memory issues. It's really, really critical. Next step then is to check out the workshops. And the workshops, I did a workshop many years ago, and if you want me to do it again, I will, LJ, is that we do workshops on just the whole gamut, because I'm very versed on these different topics. But also what is great about for caregiver support group meetings is that you're around other people that are dealing exactly with the same thing you are. So you can, how to redirect your parent, how to handle their objections, be a good listener, and just deal with some of these little things that go on as being as a caregiver. It's really, really important to take these in. And I really, that's the first thing I do. I always go to a caregiver support group meeting. It's so critical. And their learning of the disease and how to deal with your parents' issues. The next week, Friday is one, and then March 4th, that is what is that one now?
So for the event on March 4th, that's actually another program for the Healthy Living for Your Brain and Body. So we're just going to be offering it again. However, I think with regards to a March 4th event, that perhaps maybe you spoke to Ian about, whether Advocacy Day.
Advocacy, that's what it was.
Advocacy Day. So we are inviting the community and our advocates in particular to hear about our work with this legislative session, which is, as you know, very interesting since everything is done online or by Zoom, but also how they can help us on the federal level. We are always looking to recruit more advocates to help us on both the state and the federal front.
Yeah, that is so critical. I mean, I know I first saw you over at the Kupuna Caucus. Even that's not a meeting in person. But if people want to understand what's going on, the Kupuna Caucus meets usually the first Friday of every month. You can contact us for more information, or you can probably go online and find it. But it's through the it's at the Capitol, but they have a Zoom call the first Friday of every month, what's going on at the Capitol. For your advocates out there, want to learn what's going on at the Capitol, let us know. You can always email me through the magazine, percy@generations808.com. It's just really, really important for people to really understand. this is a big, big disease. I mean, it's amazing how big it is. And when I got in this business, I was telling Ian is that, you know, life expectancy was about 7.9 years. Now, today, from what I'm hearing, it's over 10 years. 10 years life expectancy, and it's even longer. I have a relative that's had it for 20 years, LJ. It goes on and on and on and on. It's amazing, you know. So we have to get greater hands around it. In terms of advocacy, I mean, it's for fundraising, LJ, what do you got going on this year?
So this year, firstly, we do have plans to host our walks in person. So we are hoping that, you know, things with regards to the vaccination and the cases, is positive. So we are planning all of our walks to happen in person. We do have another fundraiser, which is called The Longest Day, which is a do-it-yourself fundraiser. There's a lot of information we'd have to share with the community if they're interested. So if they are interested, I encourage them to call us and we can have a chat over that. It's our direct number here at Hawaii is 808-591-2771, and we can talk to them about that fundraiser in particular. But our largest fundraiser, as you know, is our walks that happen all across the state. The largest one, of course, here is on Oahu. Folks can go online at alz.org/Hawaii or alz.org/walk to register. You can start a team. You can walk as an or set up a just an individual page if you're interested. And just looking forward to being able to gather once again. However, we know that some folks may not be comfortable, so we are looking at offering a hybrid event where folks can gather and some folks can participate virtually as they did last year.
Do we have a date yet? Do you have a tentative date yet?
We do. So for Oahu, the date is Saturday, November 6th at Magic Island.
Oh, good. I'll put that in my calendar right now.
Yes, and happy to share that once again, we do have our honorary state walk chair, Ms. Don Amano-Ige, the First Lady of Hawaii.
Yes.
And our executive chairs for Oahu is Tricia Medeiros with the Plaza Assisted Living, and the executive chairman for HMAA, John Henry Felix.
Oh, great. That's some great memories. We just actually featured Tricia in our as one of our longtime partners in a magazine in this issue out right now with the KTA Family Store. Store is cover story. She's featured in there. So lastly, before we finish up here, can you give us a little bit more information on some of the medical breakthroughs that are forthcoming?
Sure. So, Percy, there was an update with regards to testing a specific type of tau in the blood. This was released at our international conference back in June. So scientists are able to detect this particular type of tau in the blood that seems to be more related to Alzheimer's dementia than the amyloid proteins, which another scientist was able to detect. The interesting part about this is that they can detect this years before someone displays the signs and symptoms of mild cognitive impairment or dementia. Other information with regards to research updates timely is the vaccination, right? There have been studies that suggest those who take the flu or pneumonia vaccination, mm-hmm. maybe even the COVID vaccination, we don't know yet, seem to have a lower risk of developing Alzheimer's or dementia later in life. It's really still too early to tell if getting vaccinated, for the flu or pneumonia on its own impacts the risk. But it could also be because people who are getting vaccinated maybe are taking better care of their health. So there's still a lot of studies that need to be done on these breakthroughs that was reported back in June. You know, it also could be the protective effects that these vaccines have on the body. There's so much more that needs to be done. Fortunately, the federal government and the very generous donors continue to pour in the funds that is needed for research to continue so we can get closer to an effective treatment, possibly prevention, and ultimately a cure.
Well, that's the future hope. I mean, I have a DVD in my desk nearby where my workstation is, and I went to a conference in San Diego in 2010. The DVD cover said, "Solving Alzheimer's by 2020. It's amazing. And we had high hopes then. Obviously, with technology has grown in 10 years, hopefully we're on a clearer path now. But it's encouraging. But all I can tell you guys, you listen out there, if you're a loved one or yourself, I'm 61 now, eating healthier and exercising is really just the first line of defense. You've got to do that. And it's amazing how many people don't realize that, because it's to me, this is such an emotional, financial issue of caregiving for somebody that has Alzheimer's dementia. It's just something I think people really need to take this serious. And, you know, I believe the statistic is like 49-48% once you reach the age of 85 that you're going to get dementia, Alzheimer's. And it's just a scary thought. And I actually told my parents that when they were I think, 87. My mom is 90 now. And she goes, "Yeah, I think I'm going to get it, yeah." And she has early signs right now. And she's 90. So it's just something I think we got to share with everybody, the story, or even your own story. And let everybody embrace that and move on. But LJ, we gotta end up here. But any last words to our audience here?
Percy, I just want to leave everyone with hope. We know that it's not a matter of if we will find a cure, but when we do. So the research is promising. We just need to make sure that those who may be at risk know that they are. Those who have it, get diagnosed sooner rather than later. And if there's anything we can do, please reach out to us. We're here 24/7.
Yeah, call the Alzheimer's Association, Google them, go online. It's really, really important. That's the first thing you need to do once you embrace that. The workshops as well are fantastic. I've attended them myself. I encourage my family and other friends to do that. It's really, really important. So, LJ, thank you very much. We will support you as well in 2021. And all of you listeners out there, appreciate your time tuning in. Don't forget, generations808.com has all our past radio and webinars shows there, along with our Facebook page, more information. So I appreciate your time, everybody. LJ as well. Aloha, everybody, and live well.
In 2021, take the confusion out of Medicare. The Copeland Insurance Group will help you understand the exciting new plans with increased benefits for seniors 65 and above, veterans, the disabled, and those that qualify for extra help. Contact Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group at 808-591-4877. 808-591-4877. Mahalo.
Is aging in place your goal? To live in your home for the rest of your life? Hi, I'm Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage expert. I'll help you learn the benefits of using your home equity to get rid of your mortgage payment for the rest of your life. Give me a call at 808-234-3117. Using our standby line of credit, let's put the gold back into your golden years. Give me a call at 808-234-3117. I'm Percy Ihara, Hawaii's reverse mortgage expert.
Mutual of Omaha Mortgage, NMLS ID 1025894. Equal housing lender. This ad is not from or approved by HUD, FHA, or any government agency. Percy Ihara, NMLS ID 582944. Borrower must occupy home as primary residence and remain current on property taxes, homeowners insurance, the cost of home maintenance, and any HOA fees.
4 and 5 night packages from $699. Vacations Hawaii, our favorite connection to Vegas.